The Georgia Conservancy, I think, dates back to the 1960s, right?
It does. In 1967, it was a group of political leaders and folks in the environmental community who were actually interested in bringing the Nature Conservancy to Georgia. And they said, well, no thanks. We're not really ready to tackle the South just yet. But please, we encourage you to start your own organization. And the focus at the time was really land conservation. And our founding fathers and mothers did just incredible work, taking out second mortgages on their home to help buy two or three key pieces of property around Atlanta. The organization slowly transformed from land conservation focus into really being a statewide advocacy group and what aims to be a guardian for the whole state of Georgia.
And today, your work dovetails with a number of other environmental groups in the state, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that what makes the Georgia Conservancy strong is our partnerships and how we work with other nonprofit organizations, the riverkeepers, but also really key partners at the state and federal level, with the National Park Service, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Georgia State Parks. And especially it pertains to what I do as the Stewardship and Outreach Director, which is really a fancy name for leading trips across the state of Georgia, getting thousands of people outdoors a year.
So what does the Georgia Conservancy do that makes it different from, say, the other environmental organizations in the state?
Well, the first thing to point out is that we're statewide, every river, every creek, every mountain is under our purview. And, absolutely, we have to, stay in our lane as it pertains to, the riverkeeper groups that really are the feet on the ground guardians of, the Chattahoochee, the Flint, the Ogeechee, the Satilla Riverkeepers, the Altamaha Riverkeepers. But for the Conservancy, it's important that we're not part of a national group. We're focused just on Georgia, and that some of our operations and program areas, like our sustainable growth program or our land conservation program or what we do at TRIPS, is really kind of threaded together nicely with our work at the state capitol as advocates. So during legislative session and really now is what's kind of considered the off season, Georgia Conservancy staff are working on laws and bills and in concert with our partners. And so for our program work, the advocacy really kind of threads that together, which is, I think, unique for a lot of programs.
Membership in the Georgia Conservancy is not just passive financial support, is it? I mean, you encourage people to get actively involved,
well,
right?
Well, we encourage passive financial support. We got all kinds, but you're right. And so for the Georgia Conservancy, I think being a member isn't just sending a check in. It's an extension of how folks live their life. I mean, the best guardians of the state of Georgia are your listeners, the people who in their own lives are advocates for the environment and can really make personal changes to help live a more sustainable life. But we also challenge folks to be advocates for our cause. During legislative session, where there's bills in Georgia or federally, we really challenge our members to be involved, to write letters, to make phone calls, to talk to their elected officials, and also just to let us know what's going on in their community. We, have these excellent emails and phone calls come in that every week almost it's a head scratcher. Well, what are we going to do about this? And so the Conservancy sometimes can be almost like a call center for the state of Georgia when people have, strange things going on in their community, a color in the river that's not familiar, a landfill that, is expected to be built that people don't support.
The Conservancy is involved in a lot of what I would call service projects.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go around the state and you do different things. Can you explain some of the things that you do, some of the areas that you tackle, that you cover?
Absolutely. And it's interesting how this all started. I think that 10 or 15 years ago, if you had raised the notion of, people are going to pay to go and do service work across the state, I mean, everyone, including myself, would have been like, oh, that's crazy. Who's going to want to take time off of work to go and perform service work? But what we found out is that we can arrange weekends with some of our key partners, the National Park Service, Georgia State Parks, small family foundations like the Ossabaw Island Foundation that manages Ossabaw. And there's different needs. I mean, there's this great need for service and care of these special places, especially as budgets have been cut and slashed and staff have been slashed. And so we can find this middle ground where we can host these large-scale service weekends, I mean, over 50, 65 people over a weekend. And in exchange, we get access to some really special places, because a lot of times where the greatest service need is are also places that are hard to get to on your own. So when the Georgia Conservancy, when we partner with Cumberland Island, we are one of the most important service weekends for the National Seashore throughout the year. This year during our Cumberland Island service weekend, we did over 45 miles of trail work. We helped to restore and clean and four or five historic buildings and structures. And so when we go over, we all go over as volunteers and we get to camp in special volunteer places or stay in volunteer dorms. And in exchange for our hard labor is an opportunity to see a part of Cumberland you never really get to see. And also it takes a burden off of the National Park staff to organize a large-scale service project like that. I mean, we definitely have help from the staff on the island, but the Conservancy staff and our volunteers, we're the ones who do a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of food preparation, getting service tools from the Atlanta Community Tool Bank, which is one of our great partners, and also just finding the people and really making the weekend stand out. And because it's the Martin Luther King Service Weekend and because our TRIPS program has become really the focal point of our effort to engage with communities of color, one of my favorite parts of the trip to talk about is that we work with students from Spelman, Morehouse, and Clark, and then also Georgia State to bring students from that are engaged in the environmental community there for the Martin Luther King Service Weekend. And they actually come as a part of a group and kind of backpack on their own. We've got alumni who participate. It's hosted with another nonprofit in Atlanta called Keeping It Wild. And for a lot of college students, it's their first time backpacking. It's their first time camping. And so it's a blend of first time outdoors with service work, with really including communities that have been excluded, unfortunately, from the environmental movement for a long time.
In some of the service trips that the Conservancy does, let's say you go out and you clean the banks of a river. Mm-hmm. If the Conservancy didn't do that, would it get done by some other entity, maybe a government agency, or would it not get done?
It would get cleaned up, but what's important is that the people who are cleaning up probably wouldn't have that opportunity. So it's not just the fact that we're doing the service work. It's the fact that we're bringing people from all across the state of Georgia to go and experience some of these rivers and some of these state and national parks from across the state.
It's not all about work, is it?
It's not all about work. There's a lot of fun.
You do have some trips where people are not working, per se.
That's
not
true.
Picking up trash or things like that.
There's three kind of key parts to our stewardship trips program. There's our service work. There's environmental education and advocacy, so getting people engaged in advocacy work and education. And then there's also kind of the breaking down the barriers to outdoor access for communities of color. And so within those three areas, we do a paddle series trip that really the focus is getting people out on Georgia's Heartland Rivers. So south of Atlanta, think of the Altamaha, the Okmulgee, the Ogeechee, the Satilla, the Chattahoochee River in Columbus. So it's getting people across the state engaged in these rivers that really are critically underutilized by outdoor enthusiasts. And then there's also trips that we hosted just for fun. They're just adventure trips. Trips to the Okefenokee Swamp, for example. This weekend we were up at Cloudland Canyon, and it was a mixture of bluegrass. We had two great bluegrass kind of folk bands come up and play on the top of the canyon. And then we also went hiking and swimming and really got to enjoy this incredible state park.
So what's coming up? You do this year-round. Can you highlight maybe one or two that are scheduled for September?
Yeah, absolutely. So September 14th is one of our favorite trips of the year. It's the Flint River Family Adventure. We host it near Thomaston, Georgia, at the Gerald I. Lawhorn Scout Camp. It's a great opportunity for folks who are experienced campers and also folks who want to come and bring their family out and camp for the first time. It starts Saturday a little bit after lunch, and we work with the Boy Scout camp that's on the banks of the Flint River that just have this fantastic facility to host zip lining, archery, rock climbing, guided hikes. And so basically you come out for a full Saturday of activities, and then that evening we have a big barbecue, pig roast, and a bluegrass band plays at night kind of right on the banks of the Flint. And we can have up to 150 people who are really coming out and camping and doing that kind of outdoor exploration for the first time. And then on Sunday morning, after a nice evening camping out for the family, we get up and do a paddle on the Flint River. It's about a 3.5-mile paddle. It's a great opportunity for folks who've never paddled the Flint or seen that part of Georgia, which is just a beautiful, beautiful part of Georgia. It really goes unnoticed.
What's the biggest challenge in attracting new members? How does the Conservancy go about doing that? How do you market yourself?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is we need to do a better job of telling folks about what we do and letting them know that the Conservancy is providing a really important resource and that we need support. And so what I would say to your members is consider the Georgia Conservancy if you're in your annual giving. Consider the work that we're doing across the state as a shepherd for our environmental, for the environment in Georgia. Come and learn about us. We're an organization that really wants to kind of bring you into what we do and get you engaged in hikes and outings and education events in Atlanta and all across the state of Georgia.
Looking ahead to the 2014 Georgia General Assembly session, what do you think will be the big environmental concern as far as the Conservancy is concerned?
I think no rollbacks. And I think it's one of the, every single year we've seen an attack on existing laws that have protected Georgia for, you know, the past 40 or 50 years. And I think the Marshland Protection Act is going to be a big issue. It's something we're working on now and working with the Department of Natural Resources and political leaders to really understand there was an effort afoot to amend and change the Marshland Protection Act, which is one of the most important environmental laws ever passed in Georgia. And that's going to be an intense focus for us. You know, I would like to see more funding for – this is, you know, someone who interacts and works with the Department of Natural Resources and Georgia State Parks. I think that, you know, we have cut the parks program and the Department of Natural Resources to the bone. You know, one day Georgia is going to wake up and realize that that was some of the best investments we ever made in our state, was through our state park system. It's one of the best in the country. And the Department of Natural Resources and what they do to manage WMAs and wildlife resources, or WMAs is wilderness management areas. And that, you know, we need places to recreate, we need places to hunt, we need organization to help us keep our rivers clean and protected. And, you know, we'd like to see, you know, funding for Georgia State Parks and Department of Natural Resources reinstated.
A lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
Brian Schroeder is the Stewardship and Outreach Director with the Georgia Conservancy. Brian, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much.